content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the April 2018 issue of Lion Magazine. We're going to begin with our President's message today, entitled Caring for Our World, Connecting to Future Generations. Lions know that service to others brings its own very special kind of rewards. There is nothing quite like the smile that breaks across the face of a child who plays on a lion's playground, or the look of relief in a mother's eyes when her baby receives a measles shot. Bringing shelter to disaster victims or aid to the needy, these actions connect the humanity in us to the humanity of those all around us. But sometimes service must be done even when the rewards aren't as immediate. Sometimes if you aren't careful to keep your heart on the big picture, the sacrifice is all you notice. When being called upon to act for the environment, we're often given a list of things we should not do. Don't use plastic water bottles, don't drive your car too much, don't take a long shower. And you'll find those suggestions in this issue, along with other small ways you can do your part. But caring for our world shouldn't feel like a chore. This is our only home. And we have a responsibility to future generations to care for it. When we do a service project that makes our environment better, we are connecting ourselves to those future generations. The environment is an essential part of our new global causes, one by which we have served 64 million people in the past 4 years alone. The young people of this world are passionate about this issue. It is a cause that energizes them. Some clubs have reported that they've used environmental service projects as a way to recruit more young people, and it's worked. More than half of all Lions clubs, 26,550 and counting, have recently organized a project to help the environment. We're gathering momentum, and it's time to see this through until we live in a more verdant world. In India, we face many environmental concerns. We are struggling with air pollution and groundwater depletion, and which threaten the health and livelihoods of everyone, rich and poor. Just like other countries, though, we use too many plastics and have to deal firsthand with the ramifications of climate change. But these challenges are not insurmountable. And while there are many small things every individual can do, there are big things we can do together as Lions when we use our vast network to connect our communities. So yes, do the little things. Most changes are so small you won't notice them. But do the big things too. Come together as a group to clean a beach or a trail. Plant trees on a bare bank. Recycle newspapers or plastic bags. Not only might you attract new members, but you will also be connecting yourself and your club to the greater community now and in the future. We do not feel the earth turning, but we see the night turn into dawn. For the 2 billion people who do not drink clean drinking water, for the millions who have no sanitary toilet facilities, and for the many animal species that are on the brink of extinction, we need a new dawn for our planet. This planet does not belong to us. We belong to this planet. And that from Dr. Narwish Agarwal, the Lions Club International President. From our departments in the news, the Sinking Shack raises money. The Cadillac Lions Club Ice Shack has officially sunk. The Michigan Club uses the unpredictable Midwestern winters as a way to raise money by collecting bets on when their ice shack will sink below the surface of Lake Cadillac. This year is the earliest it has ever gone down. A video camera trained on the shack determines when the X's painted on each side have officially slipped below the surface, usually around mid-March or early April. But some unseasonably warm temperatures sped up the ice thaw, and the bright yellow and blue shack officially went under on Monday, February 26th at 4:13:37 p.m. The Michigan Lion Club has been running the contest for 11 years now. The first year it was called an ice shanty, and they had to get special permission to keep it on the lake past March 5th, when regulations said all shanties had to be off the ice. But some local fishermen weren't too happy with the special treatment the Lions Club shanty received, and they sued. It's been a shack ever since. The difference? There's no regulations about how long you can leave a shack on the lake, says past district governor and current cabinet secretary Tim Anderson. Anybody can place a bet. The winning guest takes home $1,000 in U.S. currency, and the second place gets $200. Lions aren't always enthusiastic about selling things, says Lion Pete Bueller, who originally came up with the idea after seeing something similar on a trip to Alaska with his wife. But people hunt us down for these tickets. It's become somewhat of a legend now in Cadillac, with local radio show hosts giving daily updates on its progress, and the fundraiser usually nets the club about $1,500 to $1,800 after prizes have been doled out and repairs have been made to the shack. But the PR is worth way more than we take in, says Anderson. He says they've gotten new members based on the good word of mouth that the sinking shack has generated. It definitely gets our name out there. From our service department, Lion memories are deeply rooted. There's a growing stand of blue spruce trees on the east end of Lions Park in Beecher, Illinois. Some have been there for years. Others are recent additions, shorter and smaller. Besides providing a natural nesting spot for birds, the grayish-blue evergreens block the wind, reduce noise, and produce oxygen. Their deep roots absorb water, deterring flooding. Beecher Lion Bill Voss says he likes them. The Lions have planted at least 15 in the 5-acre park over the years. But he doesn't want to plant any more because every time we plant one, it means we've lost somebody. At the base of each spruce is a 12-by-12 tile permanently etched with the Lions International logo and the name of the deceased lion who gave time and service to their community. Planting a tree is a nice way to remember them, says Voss. It's a tradition we plan to continue. The people of Beecher like to visit the small park to push kids on the swings, to play soccer, or walk on the track that wraps itself around the site. But most Lion activities and fundraisers happen less than 8 blocks away at the town's Fireman's Park, where the active club will be cooking 800 to 1,000 pounds of beef and 1,000 pounds of pork at their annual summer fest on August 4th. Along with their usual summer festival activities, including bingo, crafts, and a beer garden, the Lions have already made arrangements for both vision and diabetes screening and a blood drive. Last year's chainsaw cutter will make a repeat appearance, as well as a magic show, local karate experts, and a band. Lions also hope to include 15-minute helicopter rides at this year's all-day event. All funds go to charities and scholarships for graduating high school seniors, says Voss. Anything we can do to help out, we're all about. But we could use some more members. Those trees in the park, they bring back memories. Those are for Lions who did their part. And also in the service department, stuffed animals go places. The Tri-Village Lions Club in Columbus, Ohio, tried a new project at Christmas, a visit to Santa's workshop for a child's best friend. They netted $1,000 for a local charity, and then they started thinking like the Hollywood types. If it worked once, why not shoot a sequel? For a $10 U.S. donation, the Lions took a child's favorite stuffed animal on an overnight trip to visit Santa, then returned it the next day with a personalized photo album of its adventure along with some Christmas cookies. In the spring, the Lions planned to do it again, but this time taking the stuffed animals off to visit the Easter Bunny. Even better, they thought, why not combine a fundraiser with a service project and bring some joy to the children at the Nationwide Children's Hospital and the Columbus Ronald McDonald House. Lions brought 100 Easter baskets, 60 for the children in the hospital and 40 to use as a fundraiser, and filled them with grass and Easter eggs. They invited families and school-aged children to an egg decorating party where the community could color an egg that would put a smile on the face of a sick child. We were thrilled with the community response, says Tri-Village Lion Jane Jarrow, who reports that more than 20 lions from the club and others nearby, as well as 100 community members, stopped to decorate 300 eggs. Lions shot pictures of the Easter Bunny with each of the stuffed animals and again created photo albums for the children so they could see the fun their special friend had. Hospitalized children were given Easter baskets stuffed with animals, photos, and treats. Special education teacher Debbie Perry used her creative touch and helped the Lions decorate the plastic eggs as popular characters like Minions and Angry Birds. And Perry was so pleased with the work and the spirit of the Lions that she joined the club. The Tri-Village Lions, who were later joined by the Olentangy Noon Lions, one of the newest clubs in the district, raised $1,200 U.S. dollars for Cure JM, which is juvenile myositis, a nonprofit organization to support children afflicted with rare autoimmune diseases. Jero calls the experience a win-win. The dedication of Lions got noticed throughout the community, and money was raised for a charity dear to their hearts, as one of the Tri-Village Lions has a child with juvenile myositis. As a special bonus, they were able to bring smiles to the children in the hospital, and they picked up a new member along the way. What made it so attractive to the community members who helped decorate the eggs is we weren't asking for money. We weren't asking for anything except for their time, says Jero. And they responded. We're very happy about it. From our service abroad departments, we've got two short ones. The first one is from Turkey, getting their sea legs. Lions clubs in Istanbul, Turkey, partnered with the Spinal Cord Injury Association to bring 22 young people with spinal cord paralysis out for a day of sailing on the Sea of Marmara. Lions helped while four experienced sea captains trained the young people. After 8 hours at sea, there was light, pride, and happiness in the eyes of all the participants, says Arzu Nizamoglu of the Istanbul Heybeliada Lions Club and Zone Chairperson. Turkey is a country surrounded by water, and the Lions wanted to introduce the disabled to sea and water sports as a way to bring color into their lives, said Nizamoglu. The reaction was very positive. We found out we did the right activity, says Nizamoglu. And then next from Micronesia, Leo and Lions clubs pair up to clean up. As part of its environmental awareness campaign, the Saipan Teen Unity Leo Club, in collaboration with the Saipan Unity Lions Club, distributed 18 trash bins to three public schools on Saipan. They presented six trash bins each to Hopwood Junior High School, Marianas High School, and Koblerville Elementary School. Students will have a place to dispose of their trash properly, says Lions Club Secretary Ruth Torricampo, adding that the schools have decided to place the trash bins in various locations around their respective campuses. The environmental awareness campaign is being carried out by Leo Club President Miguel Aninan, who says our goal, like others of Lions Club International, is to make our world a better place to live in. Next, I want to share one of our feature stories entitled The Shape of Our Water by Aaron Kasdan. Water is, quite literally, everywhere. The most abundant substance in the world, it covers more than two-thirds of the Earth's surface. It makes up 70% of our bodies. It comes down on our heads when we leave the house without an umbrella. Yet, in Cape Town, South Africa, there is none to drink. The Pacific Ocean is home to most of the islands in the world, 25,000 atolls, archipelagos, and islets. It's also home to the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, a soupy vortex of marine trash that, as of October 2016, was estimated to span more than 1.7 million square miles. The patch isn't really a solid mass, but an area of high concentration of litter at the surface, with most of the debris comprised of very small pieces of floating plastic that may not be readily visible. It was only recently discovered, but debris has been washing ashore on Pacific Coast beaches for decades, creating hazards for humans and wildlife, and bearing a chilling reminder that what we throw away doesn't really go away. Water emergency in Cape Town unites South African Lions. Cape Town, South Africa, is facing a frightening crisis with municipal water taps set to run dry on April 12, 2018. Despite being surrounded by some of the world's most beautiful beaches and oceans, the mother city is suffering a severe drought that started in 2015 and has steadily depleted its natural resources, leaving residents facing a disaster unlike anything seen before. Area leader and past district governor Carl Van Blerk, founding member and charter president of Eden's Lion Club, based in the coastal town of George, just under 300 miles from Cape Town, notes the ingenuity residents of Cape Town have shown, turning inventive ways to save water. "Never before have toilet habits been so well debated by men and women," he says, with phrases such as, "if it's brown, flush it down, and if it's yellow, let it mellow," now found printed on papers and stuck on toilet doors across the city. Residents are holding each other accountable. However, they haven't curbed their water use enough, and the city has now limited usage to just 50 liters, which is just over 13 gallons of water per person per day. South Africans from all over are coming to help, with people sending bottles of tap water in trucks as far away as Johannesburg, nearly 900 miles from Cape Town. Van Blerk notes that as well-intentioned as these efforts are, tap water from unreliable sources, poured into unsanitary bottles and shipped on the back of trucks over long distances, can spell a secondary health disaster. Recognizing the need for a coordinated effort to get clean water to residents of Cape Town, the Eden's Lions have stepped in and designated the Cape Town Water Project as a priority for the club. They have called on residents of South Africa and the world to look at donating funds. All funds will be used to purchase bulk water at greatly reduced prices from water suppliers just outside of Cape Town, where the drought has not taken effect. The 5-liter, 1.3-gallon water emergency in Cape Town unites South African Lions in April 2018. Sealed bottles of water are then transported by the supplier in suitable trucks to a central region in Cape Town and distributed to Lions clubs throughout the region. The local clubs then distribute the water where it is needed most, such as homes with elderly, young children, or the sick. An 8-ton truck carries approximately 1,600 bottles of fresh water and can be delivered where it is needed most, such as homes with elderly, young children, or the sick. An 8-ton truck can carry approximately 1,600 bottles of fresh water and can be delivered for about $1,600, just a dollar per bottle. Local schools from across the country have been asked to join the Lions Water for Cape Town Drive by collecting enough funds to purchase and send a truckload of water to a school in Cape Town, along with a message of hope and love for those who are in need. Residents from across South Africa have come together in a way that South Africans have proven in the past they can do so well, says Van Blerk. And now, if you're asking how you can reduce your water footprint, according to a 2014 government accountability report, 40 out of 50 state water managers in the U.S. expect water shortages under average conditions in some portion of their states over the next decade. Reduce your water footprint with some easy adjustments. First, check your faucets. Leaks account for more than 1 trillion gallons of wasted water every year, or 10,000 gallons per household. Replace your lawn. Some municipal water suppliers are paying people to replace their lawns with drought-resistant and native species, sometimes called a cash for grass program. Take shorter showers. One 10-minute shower with a traditional shower head uses about 50 gallons of water. Replace your shower head with a low-flow model and cut that in half. Turn off the faucet. Letting the water run as you brush your teeth or wash dishes wastes 2 gallons per minute, as much as 3,000 gallons of water per year. And choose less meat. A lot of resources, especially water, are needed to produce meat. Replacing 1 pound of beef with vegetables once per week can save more than 94,000 gallons of water per year. The ultimate goal is to stop the flow of trash into the oceans to begin with, cleaning up the coasts one piece of plastic at a time. In 2012, a 165-ton floating structure washed up on Agate Beach along the Pacific coast in Oregon. The 66-foot-long piece of concrete and steel was 7 feet high and 19 feet wide, and it happened to have come from across the Pacific Ocean. It was a Japanese dock that had been torn away during the 2011 tsunami, taking just over a year to make its way to a remote area of Oregon's famous coastline where it promptly beached itself. It was, essentially, a large piece of marine debris. Marine debris has become a growing concern over the past few decades as more and more of what we consume is considered one use and made of materials that do not degrade. The result is an accumulation of floating debris across the world's oceans. Weather conditions wash items ashore, and fish and wildlife become entangled or eat the debris and become sick. And it's also kind of a public nuisance. People come out to our beaches, and they expect to see a very wild place, and they're very surprised to see things like rope and plastic bottles, says Carol Bernthal, Sanctuary Superintendent for Olympic Coast National Marine Sanctuary in Port Angeles, Washington. In 2007, the Clallam Bay Saiku Lions Club joined other organizations in forming the Washington Clean Coast Alliance. The alliance then launched Coast Savers to coordinate the efforts of individuals and volunteer groups that had been cleaning up Washington's Pacific coast since 1971. Nancy Messmer from the Clallam Bay Saiku Lions Club and an environmental co-chair for Multiple District 19 was one of the Lions instrumental in organizing Coast Savers. Messmer and her husband, Lion Roy Morris, wanted to leverage the collective power of all the individuals and groups who were interested in keeping marine debris at bay. Lions don't ever need to work alone. You can always work in partnership, she says. Lions clubs along the coast in the U.S. and Canada now participate in 3 yearly cleanups along the outer coast of Washington and into the Strait of Juan de Fuca. Their signature event, the Washington Coast Cleanup, began as a series of separate beach cleanups and now draws 1,200 to 400 participants and moves more than 20 tons of debris. Individually, it is really overwhelming, especially when you look at the rates of marine debris buildup, says Bernthal. But by working together, we can really make a difference. And we have to. There's no choice. I don't want to give our children and their children an ocean that is devoid of life. Bernthal believes that working with the Lions may be an important key to success in the fight against ocean trash. I would love to see this spread all across the Pacific Rim. And an organization like Lions Club is really key to that because you are located in many, many communities around the world. So you have the ability to tap into people that I have no access to, says Bernthal. Messmer thinks it's important to broaden the picture of what it means to be a lion. Protecting the environment isn't necessarily new to lions, she says. So many parks are Lions Club's parks. We take care of trails. We clean our community. All of us do that. Much of that is protecting our environment. The goal, of course, isn't to see the number of volunteers at beach cleanups and the corresponding amount of trash collected continue to grow. The ultimate goal is to stop the flow of trash into the oceans to begin with, says Messmer. When you go out on a wild beach and you pick up marine debris and you're lugging bags of marine debris around, it makes you very sad. And then it starts to make you mad. And our idea is that people that are both sad about marine debris on beaches and mad about it will start asking, where is this stuff coming from? And that's the start of working on prevention. Even if you aren't a beach goer, marine debris can impact you. In addition to the tons of trash that make it to shore, all over the world, there are large amounts of concentrated debris formed into patches by rotating ocean currents. This floating garbage has economic ramifications in addition to the stunning environmental damage it causes. For example, NOAA reports that a team of researchers found that by removing derelict crab pots in active fishing areas, the blue crab harvest could increase by nearly 24%, a difference of $33.5 million U.S. dollars. But mostly the members of the Coast Savers believe that caring for our oceans is part of being good stewards of the earth, for ourselves, other living creatures, and future generations. We're all downstream from somebody, says Messmer. And if you're wondering, what is marine debris? Marine debris is any trash that somehow ends up in the ocean. A plastic water bottle that you threw away several months ago in your kitchen trash can can blow away and end up in nearby sewers or waterways where it eventually makes its way to the ocean. Commercial fishing boats may lose gear in storms, causing nets, hooks, and other nasty things to end up adrift, damaging coastal fisheries and killing marine life that gets caught in the lines or swallows the debris. How you can help keep trash out of the ocean. You can reduce the amount of waste you produce by using products that have recyclable or reusable containers. Reduce the amount of trash in the waterways by ensuring your garbage and recycling receptacles have properly fitting lids. And avoid purchasing products with excessive packaging. Reuse. Use reusable shopping bags. At work, bring your lunch in reusable lunch boxes or coolers. Pack sandwiches, snacks, and drinks in reusable containers rather than in plastic bags and disposable bottles. And finally, recycle. Know what your community recycles and what it doesn't. Buy products made from recycled materials. And no matter where you live or what kind of work you do, you can help reduce marine debris. To learn more about Coast Savers or join a cleanup, visit coastsavers.org. And if you wanted some project ideas on how you can help, whether you're a beginner or an experienced environmentalist, here are some ideas to get your club going. You can plant trees. Consult your local environment authorities. Start with the Department of Parks and Recreation to determine a location and the type and number of trees needed. Clean up a natural area. Pick a beach, a park, or a favorite trail and meet monthly to pick up debris. Collect used cell phones. Set up a donation box just like you would for eyeglasses, then distribute them to individuals in need. Reduce water waste. Survey your homes and community for leaks in sinks or communal water fountains. Contact local officials if repairs are needed. Start a community recycling drive. Solicit gently used items that can be donated to charity organizations. Organize an environmental-themed mural competition. Paint the winner's artwork in an appropriate area to beautify your community and promote environmental awareness. Raise native plant awareness. Plant a demonstration garden using native plant species or to encourage community members to landscape in an ecologically sustainable way. Sponsor a training program for farmers. You also could build a rain barrel or build a garden. And unfortunately, we have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. If you want to read more, you can also visit us online at www.lionmagazine.org. And again, that was www.lionmagazine.org. Please be sure to tune in next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138. Have a wonderful day.